Okay, let's start it. So hello, everyone. Welcome to the Roxandra update talk. I hope you guys all had a great lunch, and I hope you haven't feel asleep yet. my name is Peng Chao Wang. I'm from Facebook, Instagram, Cassandra team, same with Mikhail. And in last year's NGCC, our team presented a new RocksDB-based storage engine named Roxandra. Since then, we have continually working on improving it. So this session is an update on the progress. This talk has a three part. First part, I'm gonna recap what is Roxandra and why we develop it, and some update on the current usage status in the Instagram. Then I will talk about some highlights among all the improvements we did for last year since the first milestone. So at the last, I will talk about some learnings for running Roxandra in production for last 2 years. So let's first have a quick recap on what is Roxandra and why we develop it. So as a database team in Instagram, the tail latency, like a P99, is always one of the top line metrics for us. But Cassandra read tail latency is not very good. So this is a latency chart I captured in the production at 2016. So the blue line is the average read latency. You can see it's pretty flat. The orange line is the P99 read latency. You can see the P99 read latency varies a lot, goes up and down like a roller coaster. Along with the load come goes up and goes down. And the further investigation proves that the biggest contributor to this pattern is the JVM Yangjian GC. The GC stall will like increase linearly along with the load. So to reduce the GC overhead from storage engine related components, we build a new storage engine on top of RocksDB. And we call this storage engine Roxandra. RocksDB is a high-performance embedded key-value database from Facebook, optimized especially for modern hardware, multi-cores, fast SSD, and writing in C++, pretty suitable for our purpose. So with the new storage engine, we achieved much lower GC overhead, lower tail latency, and higher throughput. So this is the our first production Roxandra cluster. In after we migrate the production use case to it, we saw 10 times of a dropping on the GC store percentage, and 3 times drop on the P99 read latencies, basically from 60 milliseconds on the load peak to 20 milliseconds and almost flat. And this is along with 40% of capacity reduction because the throughput increased a lot. And in the last 1 year, we have migrated 70% of our production QPS onto the new storage engine. That's at a tens and millions level. And all our CPU and IO bound clusters are on Roxandra because on CPU bound, it's a almost just a pure win for the with the new storage engine. And most of these bound clusters is lapped out a little bit at first, but because of some space regressions, now we overcome the issue, and we are most of them are under active migration. We also worked towards feature parity for the new storage engine. So on this slide, feature on the left is something we originally supported from the milestone first version. For example, point query, range query, and TTL mutations, pretty basic stuff. And the items features in the middle column are new features implemented from last year. For example, cleanup, snapshot. The star node at the end of the feature means the feature works in limited situations. For example, the secondary index only works for in partition clustering key index. And SS Table Loader now only support loading Cassandra data format into the RocSandra instead of RocSandra SS Table format. So on the right-hand side is the features that to be supported in the future. For example, counters, range tombstones, and row-level tombstones. Okay, and next I will talk about some highlights of the improvements we made for RocSandra in the last years. Most of them are enabled by some awesome RocksDB features. I will talk about the RocksDB enabled us to support high-density storage hardware, and how the RocksDB ingest behind the feature helped us improve the streaming speed. How did we implement the fast cleanup feature and some improvements on the disk space amplification? So first, high density storage. So in Instagram, a lot of our Cassandra capacity is used on disk bound clusters. Typically, those clusters do not have much QPS per machine and the CPU usage per machine. But to hold up all those data, we need a large amount of machines. A lot of CPU and memory are wasted. So at the end of last year, we started the effort to move those clusters to high-density storage hardware types. Those new machines, those new hardware types, have the same amount of CPU cores and the memories as the hardware we normally run Cassandra on Instagram. But it provides 5 to 7 times more disk spaces. So you can imagine it's a very impactful but a pretty challenging efficiency project. We overcome a lot of technical blockers. So one of them are the index and the Bloom filter size. So as we all know, in most of the LSM tree implementations, the SS table file stores index and the filters along with the data. So when Cassandra started, the index and the filters are loaded into memory for effectively access data on the disk. When you have a super large disk and a limited amount of memory, in that case, the size of the filter and the index will become a problem. So on one of our production use case, I found for 7 terabytes of data stored on the disk, the index and the filter size are exceeding 200 gig. So obviously, we cannot pull all those into the memory. So one immediately obvious option is to catch the index and the filter blocks into the LRU blocking cache, but that results in poor read performance, since the index and the filter cache compete with the data cache and make it read more expensive. And the cache miss for index and the filters results in quite a large disk load because it needs to reload the index and the files for a whole file. And more importantly, it also brings a lot of CPU overhead when it's a cache miss happen. So there is a handy feature in the RocksDB called partition index and the filter. That helps at the end overcome the blocker. So with the partitioning index and the filter of the SS table file is partitioned into small blocks with additional top-level index on them, on top of the file. So only top-level index will be loaded into the memory, and the index and the filter blocks will be loaded on demand into the block cache. So for the same 7 terabyte data, the top-level index is only 5 gig, so very easy to fit into the heap memory. Comparing with the LRU block cache solution I mentioned and the partition index filter solution, the partition index filter solution dramatically reduces the CPU load on the cache miss. So this is a chart comparing with the 7 terabytes of data and the same read load, the CPU usage for LRU cache solution, the green line, which is at the top is 56% of the CPU usage. And the partition index filter solution at the bottom line, that's only 13%. That's about 4 times difference. So the read latency also has a huge drop. P99 read latency dropped from 30 milliseconds from the error catch solution to 2 milliseconds of the partition index filter solution. 15 time difference. So with this performance, we are very confident to convert our old cluster to the new hardware type. And at the end, we result in 5-to-1 ratios. Basically, the five old machines merged to one new hardware machines, new high-density storage machines. Another thing is the streaming. So with 7 terabytes of data on the disk, operation would be a nightmare. So if streaming is not fast, recovering a download can easily take a day. So next, I will talk about the improvement we made on the streaming, Rockcenter streaming. So first, let's recap how did we implement the streaming on Rockcenter. So since we don't really have access to the SS table files behind the RocksDB API, so we cannot stream like Cassandra did, like basically streaming SS table files through those over the wire. So we end up having a solution that in the sender end, we will do range scans to read the data out. And then on the receiver end, we will just receive those data and using SS table writer, write a SS table file, then ingest to RocksDB. So at a glance, the scan solution seems like not very efficient. But in reality, on a large cluster, normally that's our case, we have very big clusters. You have a lot of senders, so you don't really care the scanning overhead on the sender end. The bottleneck is always on the receiver end. So actually comparing with the directly sending, transferring the SS table files, the scanning solution actually has an advantage. The data read from scan is already merged data, it's compacted data. So there are no duplications when receiver receive the data. So this character essentially enabled our next step for the fast streaming work. So this slide shows what a LSM tree look like during the streaming. So before the fast streaming work, you can see the SS table from online write flash and the streaming ingest all come to level 0 first, then compact down to the lower level. So all the data coming in will go through this compaction from the level 0 to level 1 and then goes down. Since the streaming data retrieved from the range scan is compacted and there's no duplication from of there's no duplicated partition keys. So actually, we can leverage RocksDB's ingest behind the feature, directly ingest those SS table files from streaming into the bottommost level. This way, the whole compaction process is skipped. The receiver flow is as simple as just a receive data, cut a file, ingest, receive data, cut a file, ingest. So it's kind of a streamlined, very efficient. So with this improvement, we can, in the production, we can stream at more than 1 GB per second. We basically max out the disk throughput, the RAID throughput, and during the streaming. Time for streaming the 7 terabytes data dropped from more than 8 hours to 3 to 4 hours. Like there's some difference at the end when streaming slow down. Finally, at an acceptable level for our daily operation requirements. Another nice operational improvement is a fast cleanup. So cleanup is a process that removes data that does not belong to a node that due to a topology changes. For example, after your expansion, the token range shrink on a data node, then you need to shake off those data. So on normal Cassandra, the remove those data, the cleanup is done by a special type of compaction, which take a considerable amount of time on each node every time we expand the cluster. So on Roxandra, when we implemented the cleanup feature, we found there is a very handy API in the RocksDB called delete files in ranges. That's basically you can give it a range, like a to be clean range, and directly delete the files across all the levels if the file only contains those to be cleaned range. Those files are immediately just go away. And then that operation will help claim 70% of this potential disk space can be released immediately. So, and just like take about like 10 seconds. After that step, go back. We will just issue a RocksDB range delete, insert a real tombstone into the database and into the database, and let the future compaction clean up the rest 30% of the data. So this ends up work pretty well in the production. So it helps reduce the cleanup time on each data node from more than 30 minutes to just a couple of seconds. So help us increase the operation flexibility of our cluster expansions. So for the last highlights, I will talk about the disk space amplification improvement. So the original Roxandra has some space regressions. With both LZ4 compressions, depending on the data, Roxandra could use 25% more disk space than the normal Cassandra. That's actually why we hold off on migrating the disk-bound clusters at first. So after investigation, just happened a couple of months ago, actually, we found that the gap is caused by multiple reasons. One of the reasons is RocksDB's default compression trunk is 4K, and the Cassandra is 64K. So obviously, if you have a 64K trunk, you compress much more efficient. So we introduced a Roxandra configuration to let you tune the block size to like getting a better compression rate. Another reason for disk increase is the it's more about the encoding model we build on top of RocksDB. So Cassandra index and filter are per partition, but Roxandra's index and filter are per row. So every row will have an index item, index and filter item. So if your partition has a lot of rows, and the index filter size will be inflated. So for that, we leveraging the RocksDB prefix extractor feature. Basically, the index will be based on a key prefix. Index and filter will be on a key prefix. That's also help reduce the index and filter size. So with those changes, we reduce the gap from 25% to 11% on LZ4 compressions. So actually, in production, if you have idle CPU with Roxandra, you can switch to JSTD compressions, which is pretty mature in RocksDB implementations. That's comparing to Cassandra, can save you 17% of the disk space. So that's the improvement I talked about. So then next, I will talk about the learnings from running this new storage engine in the production. So Roxandra go to production in Instagram at September 2017. So now it's kind of a 2 years anniversary. So it's come time flies really fast. We do have some feelings and learnings on operating this new storage engine in the production. So first is the throughput. Although we started this project for optimizing P99 tail latency, the most impressive and impactful thing this project delivered to us is actually the throughput increments, especially read throughput. A lot of time we are amazed by how much QPS you can put on a single Roxandra box. So here is a read benchmark on a three-node cluster on AWS using S3 8x large instance. The blue line, normal Cassandra four-part, will increase the load at four-part at 100K read per second. On the other hand, the orange line, Roxandra, can push to 300K per second and almost flight with the P99 latency is almost flight. So in large deployment, high throughput can directly translate to machines and money savings. So for the first three clusters we migrated, we saw 43%, 66%, and 50% footprint reduction. That's huge. The operating cost for the new storage engine is also lower. With the fast streaming feature I just talked about, we can recover download much quicker. So expansion is also much faster thanks for the streaming improvement under the fast cleanup. Major compaction is also faster due to RocksDB's major compaction is in a multi-threaded fashion. We can compact 6 terabytes of data within 4 hours versus days on the normal Cassandra. And RocksDB has a feature called dynamic level size. That's a very interesting feature, actually. So for a new LLM tree, when it's feeding the data in, it actually fill up the data from the bottommost level first, then it goes up. In this way, it helps the LLM tree shaping stabilized very quickly. So this is very handy when you set up a new cluster, migrating data to experiment, because you don't need to wait for a couple of days before the tree shape stabilizes to gathering the data, gathering the performance data. And with Roxandra, you can enjoy a more frequent improvements on the storage engine side from a more active community. So this chart compares the number of commits to the master branch from August 26, 2018 to 19. So during this period, RocksDB master has 875 commits, versus Cassandra only have 278 commits. And among those 278 commits, attract probably only 84 commits are likely to be storage engine related. So I'm not saying it's kind of hard to compare, but this is give you a feeling, give you a sense, like say, there is pretty, very, very active, a lot of work is putting in into the RocksDB community. So an active community, RocksDB community means the storage engine you use can get a more performance improvement, more frequently performance improvement, more features, more modern hardware support, and faster bug fix. So to summary, it has been 2 years since we started this awesome project. It's really, really great. We get a huge benefit from running Roxandra in Instagram, much higher efficiency and lower operating cost. We are keep working on improving it. For the future work, obviously we will work towards feature parity, adding more missing features. Also, since Cassandra 4.0 is mostly stabilized, we're going to need to rebase our work based on from the 3.0 branch to 4.0 branch. And also, during the development of Roxandra, we found in RocksDB codebase, comparing with the C++ API, the Java API is need some love. So we will put effort to contribute more back to the RocksDB codebase to make RocksDB more Java friendly. Another branch of this efforts is the pluggable storage engine efforts. So this is for bringing all those storage engine awesomeness back to the Cassandra chunk. There is a Jira ticket, Cassandra 13474, for tracking the progress on it. It's still ongoing, and we are motivated to work together with the community to land this big effort. Again, everything we did is open source, Instagram, GitHub repo. You can clone the repo and there and give a Roxandra try. We need more people use it, and we need your help to improve it. And this branch, I haven't got time to update it to the latest code yet, so I probably will push it tonight. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. Yeah. Questions? Okay.
All right, I got a question.
Okay.
This is probably very obvious to everyone else, but just to be clear, when using the RocksDB engine, you no longer worry about compaction strategies because that's not really a thing.
You still need to understand, like, because RocksDB is a kind of a very general library. There's a lot of configurations. Basically, it provides you mechanism and different style of compactions, and you need to configure it correctly to fit your production need. I hope our code can hide in some complexity of it. But if you want the full power of the storage engine, the RocksDB, you still need to understand it and configure it correctly. Yeah.
Will include
some kind of example to say, if
you would normally use STCS, you would use this kind of storage configuration.
Yeah.
You normally use time window, you use this configuration.
Yeah. And there's also some interesting compaction style didn't supported in Cassandra yet. Like I say, the first in, first out compaction that you keep your data fixed sized, and the TTL compaction, like only leave a time window of data and effectively trim the old data. So you want all those like advanced features. You need to understand it and like configure it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things on that one slide for things that were completed or not completed. Do you have like a schedule or a plan for like things like that? Like one of the rows of things, is that something that
eventually
implement or make things
Yeah. For the feature on the to be supported, actually, we take a strategy like say what our production use case needed first. We're gonna start implement those. But for those, like say for example, we never use a row tombstone, so probably we left it there for. But it's not complicated to implement it actually. So. So those tombstones are the range tombstone is the RocksDB tombstone. So basically, it's only work make sense on the local, like your local storage. It's not like for the distributed usage. So we originally think like implement the Cassandra range delete using those tombstones, but actually the semantic is a little bit different. So we leave it only for using it for the cleanup data, like a truncate and the cleanup, yeah. Yeah, so our reality, the reality is like say, you, no matter how do you enforce, like say, every team need to have TTL, there are teams say we cannot have TTL. We'll leave the data like for 3 years, 4 years, 8 years. There are like, for example, messages, like those kind of things. So the cluster will keep growing And the QPS is almost static. It's not growing as fast as your data. So at the end, most of the CPU and the memory are idle. So we need a have a way to concentrate the storage density to release those memory and the CPUs to the high QPS clusters, right? So, yeah. Hi. So originally we are thinking about the GC store, but at the later we found actually more and more the it's not a, could not only be the GC store. Basically, found the RocksDB the read write path on it is on CPU wise is more effective. Like I look into the code, I think the optimization levels is for when you're writing C++ code is you have much more flexibility, you have much more power. So like say you can do some optimization on the like a CPU cache pipeline, you can have more advanced optimization on the thread, and you can have more efficient like a memory management. So but it's hard to say like which part like contribute to the like a throughput improvement. Generally I found it's a less GC and less CPU usage, then it end up the throughput goes higher. Yeah.
And can you handle, so the data type,
the cells that you have in RocksDB, do you have to structure them so that it's distributed as a binary or do you call it? So on RocksDB, the model is just a blob key and blob values. So it only supports these data models. We kind of encoded the Roxandra role and partitions roles into RocksDB. So we have the structure, but to RocksDB, it only knows the blob. That's actually why it contributes to the space amplification gap. You see after optimization, there's still 11% increase because we cannot do more advanced optimization like Cassandra, like say for the timestamp, like disk space saving, those kind of things we cannot because RocksDB don't understand Cassandra timestamp in it. So this is something we talk with RocksDB team, see if there are any kind of improvement that we can like go together. Yeah. So we still have one cluster just for counter user cases. So every time we have counter user cases, we just squish into that cluster. We don't have bandwidth to implement the counter on top of RocksDB yet. So, but I suppose it's a considerable amount of work, but it's not like infeasible. I mean, yeah. Basically, we run normal Cassandra for counters, and for RocksDB for rest of the payload, rest of the use cases. Yeah.